good evening. So we're holding in, Kamora Wiseman, Dollars on the Base. We're just wrapping up the sugya now with the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is in Siman Shin Samach Base. We were looking yesterday at the second half of Seif Hei, part which is Negea Ta'af. And we learned, I think we ended off with a Bi'ah Halacha yesterday. I must tell you, the Bi'ah Halacha, I really can't make head or tail of what's going on in it. The Bi'ah Halacha, the Mogin Avron, I thought, you know, perhaps I'm just, you know, missing something very basic here, maybe people can help me out here, but I did find today, I had a little bit of a look around, and the Yaivet also says he doesn't know what's going on. Not in the minute, the Bi'ah Halacha, he's talking about the Mogin Avron. And regarding the question I left off yesterday, I did find somebody pointed out. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about the following. The Bi'ah Halacha, one stage before the Bi'ah Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch wrote, there is a Halacha that if you've got, if you want to make a Mechitza using people, eventually you can do that as long as certain conditions are fulfilled. And one of those conditions is that they stand next to each other. What is next to each other? You don't have three tefachim or more, or let's put it differently, that you've got less than three tefachim between each person and the next. Right? So then you've got lovers. So the Bi'ah Halacha brings the question from the Bach. The Bach says, I don't understand. What's the problem if it's more than three tefachim? But a human being is more than three tefachim width-wise, in which case, let's say, if argument's sake, a person's average person's width is an amo, which is six tefachim, so, and you've got a gap of four tefachim between one person and the next, what's the problem? You don't need lovers. You've got omid merub al aporah. The solid part is going to be more than the breeches. So the breeches are going to be each time only four tefachim, and the solid part is six tefachim each time. So, that's the question that the Bach asks. Right? That's his question. Now, comes along the Mogin Avraham, and the Mogin Avraham says, I've got an answer. What's the answer? The answer is, what about the feet? In other words, you're busy working out from the torso upwards. Yeah, that's an armor wide. But when it comes to the feet, the legs themselves, I should say the legs, there, he calls it kikon, they're just koninbam, they're like sticks, they're not three tefachim. And the gap between one leg and the other is going to be three tefachim. But let's put it this way, at least it's going to be three tefachim when a person's walking. And since the Mechaber allows the mechitza when a person is walking, then for sure the average footsteps of an average person, you've got a gap of three tefachim between one foot and the other. And even when a person's standing, the Mogin Avraham is of the opinion that in all likelihood, you'll have a gap between one leg and the other. Well, the Tosefet Shabbos says, yeah, when a person's walking, I agree, you're going to have a gap, but not when a person is standing. Okay, so you partially answered the question, he says. Mogin Avraham says, fully answered the question. Now, let me just pause there. Does anyone understand how he's answered the question? Okay, the question was, why do I have to have a gap between person one and two? Why can the gap not be three tefachim? Because you've got to have lovers. Break the bar, why? Even if I have a gap of four tefachim, even five tefachim, if a person width across your body is an amo, so that's more than the gap. So what's the problem? Answer is the Mogin Avraham. Yeah, that's fine from the torso upwards. But what about the lower part of the person's body? There, you've got a problem, because between the legs, there's three tefachim. And therefore what?
Then therefore I met Merubah.
Please, right. Explain to me, how does he answer the question?
He's answered it by saying that you don't have Oymed Merubah ala Peret. You can't rely on that.
Right. So let me ask you a question. Where is the mechitza here?
mechitza is poretz meruba ala omed, you've got no mechitza at all, because you've got nothing from the bottom.
I understand. Okay. Fine. Okay. Well, let me put it this way. You've got person number one, then you've got a gap of two tefachim. Okay, two tefachim. Now you've got person number two. Now, what do I have of person number two? I've got his leg. I've then got a gap of three tefachim. And then I've got another leg. And then after that, I've got a two tefachim gap. And then another leg, three tefachim, another leg, etc. And it goes on like this. I don't really care about the person's torso anymore. Because the person, he's much higher up. The first three tefachim from the ground, going upwards, you have a gap of three tefachim between one leg and the other. There's no lovut there. So what exactly is my mechitza comprising? What's it comprised of?
By the sound of it, it's got more oretz.
Not very much.
Yeah.
Well, the lovut part, fine, we close that. But the gap between the legs, you can't close that.
The legs is the mechitza now, not the person.
So the legs are the mechitza. So let me ask you like this. No, I'll ask you a question. Let's say you were to have a mechitza, which was formed by the father. You take sticks. Let's say each stick was, I don't know, I'm just looking at a leg. Let's say a tefachim, okay? Your leg is not three tefachim wide. It's about a cross. Your foot, the average foot is... Not gaps yet. I'm talking about the leg itself. Your foot.
By the ankle.
Let's say one tefach. Okay, maybe. Fine, let's say one tefach. Okay, so in which case, if you were to take sticks, each stick was one tefach wide, so it's a plank, whatever you want to call it, right? Flat. And you were to construct a mechitza like this, and you tell me if this works. You put a slat. Every slat, by the way, is one tefach. Okay, one tefach wide. You got one tefach flat, three tefachim gap, one tefach flat, two tefachim gap, one tefach flat, three tefach gap, and you get the pattern like that. Would such a mechitza work or not?
Just about, wouldn't it, on lovut?
But you've got more. You've got more porot than don't you?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter if you're relying on lovut.
No, but again, lovut just gets rid of the gaps. Any gaps which are less than two tefachim, it'd be shove ever shove. I mean, in the example we just given, maybe it'd be shove ever shove. Would it even? I'm not even sure if it would be shove ever shove. The yidus comes from a different angle. The yidus asks us, he says he doesn't understand what's going on in there. He says, why do we have avir da'ikisa? Avir da'ikisa should remove it. It's presumably what he means to say is, because although you've got lovut on one side, but once you close that gap, so you're effectively putting two slats together, and now the two slats together, two legs effectively, are two tefachim wide, but on either side of those two legs, which have now been put together, you've got a three tefach gap. So three tefach on one side, three tefach on the other side, that's mevatel. I'm not sure if you say that or not. He says, as far as he's concerned, you've got avira da'agisa, there's a bigger gap on both sides of the solid, it's just mevatel the solid and gunk. I have to think this one through, whether that really is true. I mean, is that posher that's the case? He writes in Moro Kassir, he can't, I'm saying, he's got a few problems with it. but he's also trying. He says he doesn't really understand what's going on out there. I said you had a mechitza. Go on.
No, I'm just looking at the Bi'ah Locha again, and he says, "Afiliyes b'nehem habe yosef mishlosha tefachim." So he doesn't seem to be bothered about what the gap is between the legs.
No. He said between the legs. If you look at the Bi'ah Locha, he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. Yeah, in the Bi'ah Locha, assuming everyone's got the same layout, he does say ubifrat.
Yeah.
Kashem alchem, when a person's walking, he's been regular kishir chati amo. You'll have a gap between the legs. Oh.
If
it's less than 3 to 4, then you've got lochot.
Yeah.
So it's got to be, you want to have a gap of half an hour, 3 to 4. But once you've got a gap of 3 to 4, then what does it help by putting the people close together? So very good. And now between one person and the next, you don't have a gap of 3 to 4. But between the two legs, you've got a gap of 3 to 4. So in which case, the leg, if they disappear, if your mevatel rose from the mechitza, your torso is not going to help you. It's too high up. The Yavid says, he's not convinced that you're going to end up even with the legs involved there.
But if you add the two tefachim of the legs themselves, then you've got 5 tefachim, and then you've got Omed Merubala Paret. We can rely on that with the Lopud.
How do you have 5 tefachim?
3 tefachim gap between the legs, just under.
Yeah, that's porot.
Yeah, but that's...
No, it's not under. Between the legs... between the legs is 3 tefachim, not under. 3 tefachim, there's no lobber there, that's the whole answer.
No! Chatziyamo. Bein rego lerego kashio chatziyamo.
Yeah. Chatziyamo is 3 tefachim.
He must mean, well, maybe he holds a 3 tefachim is lovet.
Again, Mimon of Shah. No, he doesn't. If between the legs is less than 3 tefachim, then we're back to square one. Then you don't need the people to be standing close to each other. Because what's the problem now? What's the problem?
Because of what? Because of Omer Merubala Paret.
Yeah, I mean, what about our products?
And Akanami, yeah, okay.
Surely the gap between the feet will get smaller the higher you are above ground level.
Okay, we'll come to that, Zashan, we'll come to that in a second. About as you go up, it will go in a bit. We'll come to that, Zashan. But at the moment, he's talking about when a person's walking, the gap is 3 tefachim. If the gap is 3 tefachim, then you don't have lobbers between the legs. Then what's it going to help having lobbers between one person and the next? Between the legs, you don't have lobbers. Then which case, how is this bichlal? How is this going to work? You end up with the legs. As I said, the yid is definitely taking some of this, but the legs will also be off the afiladagi, then it should remove them. Even though Avdila Dai Gisa doesn't apply to lobbers. Let me just remind you, in case people don't understand what I'm talking about, Osi Avdila, we had a Gemara going back quite a bit, in fact, a long way back, where it talks about if you've got a piece of a mechitza, which is 5 tefachim, and you've got on either side of it, you've got a piritza, which is 6 tefachim, right? Again, there's the different days about whether you combine the two, but let's just talk about that sort of case. We say since the avir on both sides is greater than the solid, 6 tefachim, 6 tefachim, and in the middle is only 5, that 5 tefachim is null and void. down to I mean Murubala, Paul's Murubala, I mean that five spot can disappear in time. You can't happen that in at all, that five spot. The only time we don't say that is when it comes to logos. So if you've got a plank which is one tefach wide and a gap of two tefachim, then one tefach plank, two tefachim, we don't say, ah, well, the plank is only one tefach, on either side is two tefachim, ah, so the plank goes. We don't say that. Because less than two tefachim is like it's not, we don't reckon with it at all. But I think over here, I think where the guidance has come from, I wasn't even coming with some Avira Dagit, I was just possibly trying to work out what's going on here. But I think the way he's looking at it is that, okay, very good. So you want to say we don't reckon with the Avira between the two people, because that's less than three tefachim. But since on sort of, so fine, so we'll put the shoe legs together. The inner leg of call it the right hand leg of Reuven, and the left hand leg of Shimon, they come together now. So you've got two tefachim together. Yeah, but on either side of those now two legs, the two tefachim, you've got three tefachim gap. So that two tefachim should disappear. I think that's what he's asking. Okay, this is one thing which is a little bit puzzling. Maybe you don't say Avira Daigit, so maybe the Morgan Avon disagrees with that. Maybe you can't do that because maybe the logos, we don't just sort of, it may go into the rules of how logos work. But another problem is with what the Bi'ar Locha says. The Bi'ar Locha then goes on and he says, what's the problem? Yeah? He says, what's the problem? Like Mr. Freeman said, as you go up, right, as you go up from the ground, the gap between the legs closes. So if at ground level you've got three tefachim between one leg and the other, and as you go up, you're within a tefach of going up, you're already under three tefachim. So what's the problem? It is at Tzorach here. So we asked this yesterday. I did find somebody, I was looking around, who was the same thing as we are, which is that it's not three tefachim between the legs. It's three tefachim between the feet. When you're walking. Meaning to say, the cheshbon is, when you're walking between the toe, call it the toes of the leg behind and the heel of the foot in front, that is three tefachim. But that means, therefore, between the two legs at pretty much ground level, just above ground level, you've got a gap of kimat and amot. Now, will that gap close less than three tefachim when within three tefachim of the ground? I'm not so sure about it. I don't know if anyone did any experiment. You'd have to check that one out. But zikr, the way the Bi'ar Locha asks it, that it's Torahi, and I don't understand what he's asking the way he asks it.
Sean,
how do I get to what?
How do you get to a gap of almost an amma between the two legs?
Because, so it's like this, because it's both in Siman Shin Aleph and he brings it from Siman Shin Aleph, the same thing comes in Siman Shin Sadi, Bob Zion or something like that. It says when a person's walking, I'll bring it from what we've learned, Siman Shin Sadi, Bob Zion, wherever it was, we said if a person doesn't know where the Tukum ends, so you can take, if you're an average person, average footsteps, you can take 2,000 footsteps. Why? But we say with each step, you're moving an amal. What's the cheshbon? How do you get to an amal with each step? So we said the cheshbon is like this. The foot itself is half an amal. And when you walk, the gap between the front of the foot, right, toes in other words, of the leg behind and the heel of the leg which is in front, the gap is three tefachim. So if you think about it now, every step you take, you're moving a whole amma.
That would be Oymed Mubalabaret.
No, one second. Before we get to Omer Ben Rabbanan Paros, just posh what the B'ah Halacha said. So he says, therefore, if at ground level you've got three tefachim gap, so within three tefachim, and you from the ground up, when you move upward, you've zichah closed the gap. You're not going to have between your two legs three tefachim. The problem is, you don't have a gap of three tefachim. Yes, at ground level, mamash, you do. But I need to know what the gap is going to be. When I go above my foot, if I go up, let's say your foot is, you know what, is, I don't know, let's say your foot is a tefach. Let's just be kind. Let's say your foot, height-wise, is a tefach. It's not, right? But let's say because your toes are not a tefach high. But let's say they're a tefach. So when you go up a tefach, now the gap between your legs...
The ankles. It's the ankles again.
It's, yeah, exactly. Between the ankle... Well, yeah, between the ankle bigger. And
it's
actual
wider.
Leg, the shin, I suppose the shin. Correct,
yeah,
between
wider.
The shin bone and the ankle of the leg in front. It's wider, the tree spot.
Much wider.
You haven't closed the gap, you've made it wider. And then, obviously, as you go up, yes, it will narrow. But the way the B'ah Halacha asked it is, well, it's only tree spot on the ground level. No, and therefore, the minute you go up, it's going to start narrowing. It's not. When you go up a little bit, it goes wider. And then, yes, it will gradually narrow. The question is, within 25 centimetres, 24 centimetres of the ground, does it narrow sufficiently? I mean, again, you can measure it. All you have to do is put, if your foot is, it's anyone who's got an average foot, meaning, say, let's say your foot is 24 or 25 centimetres, let's say, and then stand with your legs apart between the front of your shoe and the heel of the shoe in front, make a gap of another 25 centimetres, and then get somebody to measure the gap between your legs. If anyone does it, let us know what the results are. Let us know tomorrow. I'm sure somebody can do this. And be at a height of 25 centimetres or so from the ground, what is the gap now between your two legs? That's essentially what we want to know. Or even, I suppose, a bit less than that, 23 centimetres from the ground. That's what we have to know, whether that closes sufficiently. Maybe it does, but the way the B'ah Halacha sort of words it, that the math is problematic. So, those are the two parts of the B'ah Halacha. The first part is not the B'ah Halacha, it's the Magen Avraham. There is this Ha'ora, as I said, bringing from the Yaivut, just Tosha, once you're taking the gap between the legs, well then, is it really going to help by having the gap between the people less than 3 tefachim? That's something to, I think for that, we have to examine more about the rules and mechanics of Lobos. Could be that the Magen Avraham holds that Avira Daigisov, Avira Daigisov, if one of the sides is Lobos, you don't just get rid of that gap. No, that's one of the gaps, and therefore each leg is surrounded by, on one side, 3 tefachim, and the other side, a gap which is not a problem. Maybe that's where he looks at, I don't know. But the Yaivut leaves it sort of, he's not really sure what's going on. He's got other problems as well. He doesn't understand this Magen Avraham at all. And the other thing we're asking is, Tosha, just in the B'ah Halacha, at the end there, just this math, where he's wording it is zichah is difficult, and his actual question, we can do an experiment and find out whether his question actually stands at the end of it. Because the way we, essentially what we're suggesting is it could be that his question has been answered simply because the gap is bigger than 3 tefachim, essentially, when you go off the ground. Okay? Fine. As I said, got a bit of homework there, let's move on. Yep.
Can I just ask you a question? In the case of the sukkah, the Gemara brings as a person who stands in the place, you know, temporarily, can create the third wall. He's also standing on his feet with gaps in between his feet and so on. So, I mean, you know, if it works in one case, it's got to work in the other.
Correct. You're saying the single person, Enochanami, he would...
A single person standing in a gap in the wall to make up, if you like, the third wall, even if it's temporary,
that's it. You're absolutely right. You'd have to sort out the problem between the feet.
Yeah, but
you see, the Yaivut, No, he does ask from this sort of thing. He said, like, what do you do stomach them? What do you do between the feet? You fill in the gap. Because if you fill in the gap with, let's say, the animals or in the sook or whatever it is, then you fill in the gap here as well. And I'm like, you're not filling in the gap. But if you're not filling in the gap here, you're right. Yeah, and I'm like, in the case of the sook, if it's one person, you just have to make sure it's beat up.
I just think that it's the general principle of how much of that space is taken up by a person, that's all. I don't think it matters, but I don't think it matters so much about the feet. The reason is that the bulk of your body is as you say, an arm wide. It's less than a 3 to 4 feet away from the next person. And you're looking at the overall space up to, I don't know, up to the height of a person, say 6 foot. You'll find that it's mostly filled with people. And that's probably what they're trying to say.
Yeah, but the problem is, in Hilchos Mechitza, the halacha is that we reckon from the ground upwards. If you don't have a solid, what is halachically considered solid, in other words, Mechitza, you know, in the first 3 tefachim, the whole Mechitza is out. You can have the most solid Mechitza from there onwards, it doesn't help. Mechitza Teluya, it's effectively becomes a suspended mechitza, which doesn't work. With special color with water, the Gemara says, but generally speaking, suspended mechitzas don't work. Not in Sukkah, not in Shabbos, it doesn't work. There has to be solid, or at least halakhically solid from the ground with that first 3 tefachim. That's the halakha.
Also, we said, we said with the animal, it has to lie down, or it has to kneel down. It has to be on the floor. And it has to be 10 to fuck him up.
Correct.
So,
correct.
The person as well?
Well, with the person, it's going to depend on this. I mean, with a person, you can get him to put his feet together. An animal, you wouldn't have an animal, you don't have that. The guy that speaks about animals, he asked, what about animals? He talks about filling in the gaps. But you're right, if you've got it lying down, that sort of segments the problem with animals. But with a person, though, we're arming a person lying down.
So can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
An observation. Mr. Israel asked about sukkah, but surely the case of a person filling in a gap in the mechitza in sukkah is a person is stationary. If he's stationary, there is no gap between his 2 feet. When we talk about a 3 tefach, yeah.
Well, no. The Mogen Avraham takes on. Okay, the Mogen Avraham takes on even when they're stationary. There's a gap. The Tosefta Shabbos says no, only when he's walking. Mogen Avraham takes on even when a person's standing.
Are we talking about a person standing?
No.
Can I just clarify?
Yeah.
When you're walking, you're facing a certain direction, and one foot is in front of the other. Are we talking about a person facing perpendicular to the wall of the sukkah, or a person in line with the wall of the sukkah? If he's perpendicular, there's no gap between the legs, or minimal gap between the legs.
It will depend on how he's standing. The more that everyone takes on, when a person's just standing naturally, you don't have your legs together.
No, but you don't have them 3 tefachim apart. You try it yourself. So when you're walking, you've got a bigger gap, but when you're stationary, normal stationary position, you might have a tefach between your legs.
Well, I'm actually standing up now, just, I don't know if this would be a kind of natural thing. I probably do have 3 tefachim between my legs.
You're talking about you're standing with your two legs side by side, and the gap between the two legs.
Yeah. I could move them in which case then I don't. So it's very subjective, but depending on how people stand, I'm not necessarily going to be a raya, because I don't think my body's not an, I don't think it's an amal, it's definitely not an amal kos. I'm not a raya.
Yeah, but when somebody's walking, I can understand this street's walking, but if you're stationary, I don't necessarily see that.
The problem is, right, with a person, even if his legs are 3 amas or less, 3 tefachim or less, and you've got 1 tefach for the ankles, you've got just under 5 tefachim of a solid at the bottom. And then, are you saying the gap in, that's left in a sukkah is going to be less than 5 tefachim for the Omer Merubah Al HaParetz? You're saying that's a 10 tefachim gap, which isn't much
to eat in. It depends. No, in the case of the sukkah, it depends on, you may only need a tefach there. If it's the third wall, sometimes you only need a tefach, and it depends on the positioning.
You mean it can't be Omer Merubah Al HaParetz there?
Well, yes and no. Not necessarily. Yeah, and it's a bit of a vague answer, but it does have to fit certain kilometers. I mean, I just did a very rough estimate now, just standing up, and I think that within, as I don't have a ruler with me or anything like that, but just using a piece of paper, you know, doing a very rough estimate, I think that if you make a gap between your feet of 25 centimeters or thereabouts, or people like in inches, about 10 inches, between one foot and the other, assuming your feet are roughly 10 inches as well, I think within 10 inches or so of the ground, you're not going to have, I don't think you have a gap closed sufficiently. Going back to the Bialochot thing. As I did a very rough thing, so I can't be absolutely sure. But people can do the experiments themselves and let us know tomorrow what you come out. Okay, people are quite correct when your stat gone.
I've got a tape measure with me, and my feet, obviously I'm not average, but my feet are about 26, and with my shoes they're 30, and 30 is about an A4 piece of paper or a ruler, and which is 3 tefachim, approximately. So, when you're standing, I would have thought to stand with 30 between your feet, then you are standing with your feet apart. I would have thought you would actually be less than that, more like 20. But obviously everybody would be different.
Correct. As I said, go on.
The other thing that I measured, again, it's not accurate, but just by having the tape measure here, one's ankles, obviously everybody's a different size, but an ankle is approximately about between 30% and 40% of the width of the foot. So
right,
you're the solid part on the ground is your foot, but as soon as you come up just a very short distance, you've only got the solid part being your ankles, which is about 30% to 40% of your foot. So you lose quite a lot of solid.
Right. Okay. Fine. Okay, so let's move on now. Siv Chatan Lamed Ches, I think that's what we got up to. This part we should be able to move a little bit quicker. Siv Chatan Lamed Ches, so he's saying that if you form a mechitza using people, it's a Siman Shin Samach base. Now we're looking at the Mishnah Siv Chatan Lamed Ches. He said that it's fine. It's considered to be a mechitza even if people are moving, right? And it becomes a Rishat HaYochid in between them. They are surrounded from 4 directions. That makes it a shofayachet, in other words. They surround, in other words, 4 directions. So mechitza kumurahi, it's a complete mechitza, and it works afidu b'rishos harabim, even in a b'rishos harabim. So I'm going to come on to Sa'if Zayin B'Hagor, take a look later on and see Zayin in the Ramal. Uhu hadin, as he says, such a mechitza is a good mechitza, right? It's a good mechitza, even, but let's say if a person wants to daven and he's in a place which isn't, something which isn't so clean, so if it's in, it's fine, you'd be all right. If you got people to stand there and form a machitza between you, the davener, and the source of the you know, the not clean thing, then that would be affected. Yeah. The Sharadian says in this case it would work even if they know that's why you're making them stand there. Yeah, make sense?
Even if they know.
Yeah.
That's not what we said in the Gemara, though, is it?
No, so what he means is we're not talking about Shabbos. It's not a Shabbos tikka mechitza.
Okay.
Yeah?
Well,
he means on a weekday.
And why do you need a mechitza on four sides? Why isn't three sides sufficient to make a Drushul Siyokhid?
Because again, Midrabon on three mechitzas is not enough. The fourth side does not necessarily have to be completely closed, or in this case, it's just the fourth side, as it happens in the case of the of Nehemiah, it doesn't have to be closed because it's just to bring him back to his Tichon. There's only really three sides in that case. But otherwise, if it's Rosh Hashanah wise, you have to have three full mechitzas on the fourth side, whatever you would normally have, lefty code or whatever, etc., depending on what you're dealing with or what it's. Yeah. There is actually just one very interesting nekuda, and that is like this. In the Shaar Tzion, Oscha, he talks about, if you remember, we're talking about he's saying this is a complete mechitza and it works even in a Rosh Hashanah. The Chofetz Chaim says he doesn't recommend you relying on this one in a Rosh Hashanah. Right? Why? The reason is because there's always the risk, right? There's always the risk that whilst you're busy doing whatever you need to do in the Rosh Hashanah, relying on this mechitza, what are you going to do if some of the people move out of sync? Or decide to move away or something like that, and you don't chop. You're playing with fire. You're busy trying to move something in. You're relying on people who with one step in a different direction, and you can suddenly find you've lost your mechitza. And therefore he says, that's why he wants to say in Sif Zayin, the Ramah says, don't rely on this. The Derech Chelal not to rely on this. Yeah? Yeah, does that make sense? We're talking about when there's only a few people in the machita, I should have asked. If it's made up of only a few people, then if one or two move out, you can suddenly have yourself porous murabada only. If it's already a much larger group of people, okay, that's less likely that so many people are going to mess up. But when it's dependent on just a few people, there already you've got to be much more careful. There could be, as even Bishal Sadechak, maybe you shouldn't rely on it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so if Kotanamates. We said that it's very important they mustn't know why they're being why they're being put there. After the Mechitza Kazu, Ain Ba Mishum Binya Mashamas, he says even though with this Mechitza there is no actual Boiner on Shabbos, okay, he's not going the way we explain Rashi or anything like that, he's going with the other Rishonim. Mikol Makom nevertheless, also Kashiyedu, it's a problem when they know what's going on. Kadesha that Yavu lezalzel v'itzah Shabbos. In order they shouldn't come to cheapen Shabbos. Right? That's not Rashi, that's more like the Kadesh Oran or the Eshbringer from the Rashba. They are feeder with the Eved also. Now, here he speaks about, we spoke about this. What happens if with the Eved? You made a mechitza and they know about it. They know why they were asked to stand in position. He says, even with the Eved is also. The dino can mechitza anasis the mezid b'sef gimel, and it's got the same din as the mechitza which is made the mezid and sef gimel, that the kula you cannot use the mechitza. right? You remember we spoke about this. We said, according to Rashi, Zichah, it makes sense that if you did it b'mezid, it shouldn't work. That they know about it, because the Maisi you've done b'ina, even if it's b'ina d'rabbono. If you go with the Rabbi Yerushalmi, for sure, if they know about it, it's no good, because he said that's the whole problem when they know about it. It's making a machitza b'mezid. Even this reason on Zildan and Issa Shabbos, that's what he's saying. Nonetheless, if you did it b'mezid, the Maisi you'd have to be machmir. The one thing he speaks about in Shalatin is what happens if you got them to you put them in position before Shabbos. What's the halacha then? They know why you've asked them to stand there. Is that a problem?
Before Shabbos.
Yeah.
So according to the Rashi,
okay.
According to the Rana, the Rashi, if you have a zilzul, there could still be a problem. Yeah, from Shabbos.
Oh, very good. If you go with the Rashi, with Poshet, if Poshet it works, because the Mechitza was made before Shabbos. If you go with the Rabbi Yerushalmi, same thing. So it's made b'mezid. So what? It was done before Shabbos. The Shaila over here is, according to the Ram, the Rashi, on these sort of, it's, remember, the Mordechai said, it's not just about them knowing or not knowing, Shas, that you make the Mechitza. It's even if they realize subsequently why they're standing there, that would also be a problem. Ultimately, it still leads to Zildan and Shabbos and Gezeiros of what people are going to do. Well, in which case, maybe even if you ask before Shabbos. Right? Think about Amir al-Akum. Amir al-Akum, if you ask a goy to do a malacha for you, and you ask him before Shabbos, so, mutar or asr?
It depends if he can do it on Shabbos or he can do it at any time.
No, I'm saying, you ask him before Shabbos, could you please come in on Shabbos and turn on the light? Mutar asr to ask him to do that. He's not getting any benefit, he's doing it for you. But you asked him before Shabbos. I didn't say a word to him on Shabbos. Mutar asr.
Asr.
100% asr. Of course it's asr. 100%. Right? If you asked him before Shabbos, so what? You know what? Even if you didn't ask him, if he came in of his own volition and did a malacha, he also can't benefit from it. Because maybe it's not even such a raya. But the main point is again, since Amir al-Akum, Chazal uttered it because of a gezira of what it can lead to, I don't care if you asked him before Shabbos. So what? Don't just look at, well, the issa is the Amir al-Akum. Well, I didn't ask him on Shabbos. You've got to think about what Chazal had in mind, you know, behind him. Why is Amir al-Akum also? What it can lead to. But in which case, it doesn't help if you ask him before Shabbos. You're asking him to do a malacha on Shabbos. It's no good. Here as well, the zikha tzad to say, very nice, you've got everyone standing in position before Shabbos. But the whole problem was, the zilzul in Shabbos, when people realize what's going on, and the fact is, on Shabbos, you've got somebody who's making use of this mechitza, made up of people, on Shabbos, would that not lead to a zilzul in Shabbos? I think it's more answer zilzul, I don't know about according to the Chedisha Aram. Well, maybe it is. The Chiddush HaRam wasn't out zilzul in Shabbos, it was more that a person may come to make a mechitza with Kedem. Yeah, I'm not making any mechitza on Shabbos. But the Maisa out for zilzul in Shabbos, I think that's where the Shaida is. The Maisa, the Shaharatian says, B'shach HaBachat, you can be naked. Prima Golden is Masupak about it, and he says, B'shach HaBachat, you can be naked, is the Pesach of the Chavetz Chaim. Fine. Hello, Yasser.
Can I ask a question on... it's the expression zilzul v'issa Shabbos. Isn't it a zilzul in Shabbos? What's the issa Shabbos?
Well, I think the vort is the issa we're dealing with over here is making a mechitza. So when a person, it's not a zilzul in Shabbos. The issa, the reason why he calls it a zilzul of the issa Shabbos, I think, is because effectively a person's looking for a way round. In other words, the Torah Chazal, whatever it is, didn't want us to build a mechitza. So what I do is, I effectively do it, I'm doing exactly the same thing, just I found a way of doing it that creates a loophole. That is, sort of, would be a zilzul in, I suppose, in the Isra Baina. Because ultimately, it's going to cheapen the whole, it's not Shabbos, it's cheapening the whole Malacha Baina. It leads to a whole lack of appreciation of the Chayna of Baina. It's a little bit like, it's touching already on the run. He says, because if you allow people to make a machitza with people, they're going to then come to do the same with Kedem. Just the lotion that Zalza the Issa is not so much because they're going to make a mistake. It's more because, well, once, you know, people get used to making machitzas, albeit the heter, they'll come to cheapen the whole Issa of Bina, and then they'll come to start doing it in ways which is not so. I think that's more the Rosh and the Zalz of the Issa Shabbos. Not so much the cheapening of Shabbos, more the Issa of Baina. I think. Okay, Siv Chotam Mem. Lo Yasem Ehem. He said you shouldn't make, if even one person knows about it, why you're asking to do it, you know, don't use him. Even, you know, one person would be a problem. And we said, if it's likely they're going to realize why you're asking them to do it, then don't ask them. Why would that be? If you've already used them in the past. That's the Chavetz Chaim, Le'ya Semeyem, Tzibkot Emem. Im Odom Acher Ashoy Ratzis Meyem Mechitza. Let's say somebody else wants to use the same people. You used them last week, I want to use them this week. I'll be sophic. That is a sophic, whether we assume people will put, you know, put the dots together. Because it could be they'll still realize, you know, we were asked to do this, albeit by somebody else last week, what's going on here. That's the Mogen Avraham Hashem HaBisi, but the Rabba Meikle got that. Now, it seems you can be Meikle, because, I mean, the Rabba is Meikle on that. He says, only if it's the same person, you know, who did it last week. And then they do talk about, continue on to the next one, Mechitza Oid, don't ask them again, the Afilu B'Shabbat Zachere. We're not talking about on the same Shabbat, even the next week, like with Rabba, even the next week. The Mi'acha Shekorev She'agishu, because since it's likely that they will put the dots together, Avedi Kamamiz Mitzchila Alada, therefore, it's like asking them to, to make a mechitza ladav. But it's only the Seif Vav. It's not similar to the case in Seif Vav, which Be'ez Hashem will see tomorrow, which is the case of they didn't, truth, you can look at it straight away. There's no Mishnah Berurah on it. Seif Vav, the Mechaber says, in Bo'u Mitzchila Shnei Ladav, if he arrived there Shnei Ladav to start with, Abba Bisha'achakach Hirgishu, that is the Mechaber in Seif Vav, even though subsequently they realize, in Lochish is no problem. That's the Ritzvot. The Ritzvot we kept quoting, because the Isser is the making of the Mechitza itself. When they made the Mechitza, they didn't realize. So it doesn't matter if they realized afterwards. So now back to the Chavetz Chaim and Siv Kotzim Mem Aleph, he's saying, well, why is this any different? He says, it's not similar to the case in Siv Bob. So often, because over there in Siv Bob, what we just read, Mitzchila Lohoya Lo Lochish Shiyeti. There was no reason for him to, initially, when he asked them to make the machitza, there's no reason for them to be chishish, so they're going to find out. The afilu b'pam orishon, even on the first time round, im lo ayolo anoshim kedei tzorchei, if he didn't have enough people for what he needed them, he'd on the mokum echot, and he put them in one place, v'yachakach omarayim sheyelko, and then he asked them to go move on. This is the case that Tosus talked about, right? People at the back to move to the front, and then he's going to walk in between them, also that's forbidden. Because that's likely they will now chop on the second time round. They're having to move. Madamina, that which we say, the gam kashem ahalchin mutter, even when they're moving, it's mutter, who kashem ahalchin me atman. That's when they're walking of their own volition. They're not being instructed. Or you've got a large number of people, shalchin, who are walking all together like Rovo, or like the case in Rome, Grafelski story. And therefore no one really chaps and he's walking in between them. The Enochanami, if you've got a smaller group of people and he's walking in the middle, it could well be that they would chap. And the general rule is, and Be'ez Hashem will speak more about this Nakuda tomorrow, is this Nakuda about that when, if there is a likelihood that they are, even when, at the time when I ask them to make the machitza, at the time when I ask them to make the machitza, if there's a good likelihood that they're going to realize, even though right now they don't, that when they're making the machitza they may realize, you're not allowed to ask them. He says, in Tzivot, there was no reason for me to be choshish that they would realize. They found out afterwards, so what? But when I asked them initially, there was no reason for me to be choshish that they would realize. Masha Inkin, the case we're talking about here, there's every reason for you to be choshish they're going to realize. Because it's not the first time you've asked them, and therefore, you'd have to be choshish. As I said, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to speak more about this tomorrow, because the Me'iri does speak about this in the Kodah. I mentioned the Me'iri already yesterday, 2 days ago. The Me'iri, who does not allow a machit which is moving, and he says the reason is because he says they get a chah. What's they get a chah? What's going on? So this is something which Be'ez Hashem will want to just elaborate on a little bit tomorrow, and then there's just Sif Zion to round it off. We'll see if we can finish it tomorrow.